This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Folks, May is World Cancer Research Month, and here to talk to us about that and so much more about what the LSU LCMC Health Cancer Center is doing is Dr. Lucio Mille, and he is the director of the LSU LCMC Health Cancer Center. Excuse me. Doc, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. How are you? Great to be with you.
Doing great, Doc. Thank you so much for joining us. If you would, let's just start out for the benefit of the listening audience, the importance of May and the world being a World Cancer Research Month.
Yeah, I'll just start with a few numbers. Over the past 30 years or so, since 1991, cancer mortality has decreased by 33 to 34%, meaning it's down by a third. However, the number of new cancers has not decreased. For some cancers, it has. For some, it's actually going up, especially in younger people. So if we've got similar numbers of new cancers and fewer deaths, what it means is that we have learned how to diagnose earlier and treat better the cancers that we do see. And that is all the result of cancer research. None of this would have happened without research into new prevention strategies, but also new diagnostic techniques and new treatments. So I cannot overemphasize the importance of research to improving the treatment of cancer and the way society deals with cancer as a whole.
Doc, I read an article, it's probably several years ago, talking about the frailty of bringing the results of all cancer research together in one database. That folks thought that was something that absolutely needed to be accomplished. Do you know if we're any closer to that goal?
There are similar databases, but you got to be careful when putting all kinds of disparate data together into one big bucket. If these data are not comparable to each other, you end up creating more confusion than light. One of the initiatives that LSU is actually part of is the so-called GENIE initiative. Mm-hmm. What it is, it's a consortium of cancer centers that is sponsored by the American Association for the Advancement for Cancer Research, AACR, and it collects de-identified, meaning without names or any other elements that can identify who the patients are, clinical and molecular data from cancer. There are 200 plus thousand cancer cases in this database, and the data come from the United States, from Europe, from Japan, from Korea, and these are publicly available to investigators to look at the relationship between what genes are on or off in a cancer and how the cancer responds to certain treatments. So, yeah, there are significant efforts in that direction, but big databases only work if the quality of the data that goes in them is equally good. Otherwise, they're not necessarily the solution.
And I guess there's a role and a growing role for artificial intelligence, right? And not only dealing with all the breadth and depth of the data, but the manner in which you're conducting some of the cancer experiments in the lab today utilizing AI.
That is a huge, huge factor. AI isn't really new, but it has developed to the point that we can actually use it for all sorts of things. For example, you use AI today to screen for new drugs. Instead of just doing a lot of trial and error in the laboratory, screening millions of chemicals against a simple target to see which ones might be a hit. Many of these things can now be done entirely via computer through AI algorithms. And in fact, investigators at our cancer center are involved in doing that sort of work right now. Then you can use AI to look at images from pathologist slides, digital pathology it's called. So if you have thousands and thousands and thousands of images from different cancers, and you also know how these cancers responded to treatment and what genes are up or down in those cancers, you can train an AI algorithm to predict what a cancer is going to respond to in terms of treatment simply by looking at it. This is not something that a human brain can do. Of course, again, you need really high-quality data to be able to train this algorithm, and you do need human oversight to make sure that what the algorithm predicted is, in fact, what happened. But these are things that were science fiction even a few years ago.
And I guess AI is able to do it, obviously, faster, more efficiently, with a higher efficacy rate than the human eye and human comprehension, right?
Well, yes. I mean, the point is not AI is not magic. It's simply a very, very, very large amount of brute force. It can hold in its memory more than a human brain ever will. And so it can compare in the blink of an eye one image to millions of other images. It doesn't forget anything. It doesn't get things wrong. As long as you put the right information in it in the first place, it can do things that humans are just not able to do.
So for decades now, in Louisiana, we have had a disproportionate share per capita of cancer cases. Is that still the case?
Yes. Our cancer mortality is approximately 40% higher than the national average. And our incidence is higher for some cancers, but not others. Prostate and lung come to mind. Our breast cancer mortality is among the worst in the country. And there are several factors that go into that. One of them is stage of diagnosis. We need to do a better job of diagnosing cancers early on. And for cancers for which there are screening procedures, we need to screen. These are breast cancer, cancer of the uterine cervix, cancer of the colon. We need to expand screening so that cancers can be diagnosed at an earlier stage. The cure for cancer, if you will, a single cure will is not realistic, but an early diagnosis is closer to a cure than a late diagnosis. It's possible today to cure many cancers as long as you catch them early. Then we've got certain risk factors for cancer that are particularly prevalent in Louisiana. One of them is obesity, where unfortunately ground zero for the obesity and diabetes epidemic. And obesity is a major risk factor for 13 different types of cancer, from colorectal to endometrial cancer to certain types of breast cancer, not all types. And so that puts our population at higher risk. Tobacco use is decreasing, and that's wonderful news because cancers associated with tobacco are still among the most lethal, like lung cancer. And then we've got the potential for environmental pollutants. There's a stretch of Louisiana between New Orleans and Baton Rouge where certain parts of it, not the entire stretch, but certain parts of it have really high cancer incidence, and we don't really understand why that is. And we're actually trying to launch an investigation of this. So, yeah, Louisiana is particularly in need when it comes to cancer research, cancer prevention, cancer diagnosis, and cancer treatment.
So there's no doubt that the necessity of our cancer care, our cancer research needs to be alive and well, fully funded. The federal government at the present time is rethinking a lot of what they're doing. Is there something there that really concerns you?
Well, the reality is that you get what you pay for. You don't make discoveries and you don't develop better treatments if somebody doesn't support it financially. I am hopeful that our nation will remain one of the leaders in cancer research in the world. We have been the leader for a long time, but that's not going to happen without appropriate federal funding. There is no real substitute for that. Of course, industry is an important partner, but that happens when products are already at the stage of development. Developing these products comes from discoveries that are made in academic institutions, generally with federal funding. The way I explain it is researchers funded by the NIH are people who mine the unknown for precious stones, for diamonds. And then industry comes and turns them into jewelry that can be sold. So, there is no substitute for federal funding, and I am hopeful that particularly in states like ours that suffer disproportionately from cancer, we're not going to see the drastic cuts that are being discussed, because they would be devastating.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And in your case, in the Cancer Center, you guys have already proven yourself over and over and over again, right?
Oh, yes. I mean, we have maintained active cancer research, and by that I mean not just laboratory research, I also mean clinical research, population research, community engagement for several years. But we do need to achieve a critical mass, if you will, in order to receive NCI designation, because that's then going to build onto itself and put us on the map as one of the top centers in the country. I cannot exaggerate the importance of NCI designation as something that's completely transformative. One example that I often use is that of the Moffitt Cancer Center in Tampa, Florida, that started in 1981. Not much happened until 1995, when the state of Florida decided to make a significant investment in that cancer center. 6 years later, they achieved NCI designation, and they are now a comprehensive cancer center that brings over $2 billion to the local economy of the Tampa area per year, and sees patients from all over the world going there for treatment. This is what you can get with an NCI-designated cancer center in your state.
Doc, how many are there? And NCI stands for National Cancer Institute, is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah. There are 73 in the whole country, plus a few more, to a total of 92. That are called emergent cancer centers, and that's the category that we fall in, meaning we are preparing to apply for National Cancer Institute designation within the next few years. That's a program that started in the 1970s with the National Cancer Act that was signed by President Nixon, and it has revolutionized cancer treatment and research in this country.
And there is not one in the state of Louisiana, right?
There is not one in the state of Louisiana or in the state of Mississippi or in the state of Arkansas. The two closest NCI-designated cancer centers to us right now are the University of Alabama at Birmingham, which was designated in 1974, again, with strong support from their state, and the cancer centers in Houston, Texas. So 6 hours away in one direction or 7 hours away in the other. It's important to have our patients be able to be treated at a designated cancer center where they are, rather than having to go out of state for treatment.
You know, we establish these affiliations. They're nice, I guess, but it's not like having control of everything that you need right here, right?
It's not the same thing. It's certainly nice, and you know, we do collaborate with many other cancer centers on a routine basis, designated cancer centers, but that doesn't mean it's not the same thing as having one right here, because the process of designation really scrutinizes every aspect of what you do, your community engagement, your training program, your clinical service line, your clinical trials, everything, not just the laboratory research. You have to have enough research to qualify, but everything is scrutinized in a process that's called a site visit, whereby experts from all over the country just come here and basically test us and look at everything that we've been doing. And if we pass all these tests, we get designated. The designation itself is a relatively small financial grant from the National Cancer Institute, but it opens the door to opportunities that are not open to centers that are not designated, including additional research grants and additional trials and things that you're just not in the club until you are in the club.
So what is your confidence level? We're in the application process now that will achieve this designation. I know there's a lot that has been done here in the city with medical education and research and alike relative to cancer research. Where are we on a scale of 1 to 10? Where do you think we are?
We're about 4. What that means is that we've got all the pieces in place and we've got enough grant money to qualify. Especially if the NIH budget doesn't get slashed, then we need to hire more. We're hiring actively. In the last few months, ever since I took on this job, we hired two clinicians and two basic scientists. We need to keep hiring at the rate of 5 to 10 people per year for the next 4 to 5 years. To have the kind of critical mass that would make me comfortable with an application. And this is not unique to Louisiana. Another cancer center that I have a lot of experience with, because I used to work there, is the University of Illinois at Chicago. Again, that's a state university like us. They just submitted their application and they got an excellent score that hopefully will bring them to be funded. They started 25 years ago.
Wow.
So we're now in the final stretch of a process that started here as well, after Katrina.
Yeah, obviously it's a lengthy process, and you have to prove yourself over and over and over again. If there's anything that we can do to bring more attention to this, Dr. Lucio Melee, Director, LSU LCMC Health Cancer Center, please let us know, because this is critical to health care in our region for sure. And we thank you for your leadership on this front.
You are most welcome, and I'll be always willing and able to answer any questions from our community.
Thank you, sir. Best of luck to you. We will be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.